On drums, Mr. Jankin Paid. Let me just put these up.
Hello,
terrible
sir.
Sound man. Jan, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
The funkiest drummer in the land, for sure. And the drummer with the brand new heavies. And on bass, Mr. Andrew Levy, sir.
Hello, I'm Andrew Levy. I play bass.
And that funky guitar of Simon, Mr. Simon Bartholomew.
Good evening to one and all.
And the lovely Miss India Davenport. How are you doing?
Hello, everyone.
Well, welcome to our humble abode here at Colourful Radio. We've been saying we're going to get the full brand new heavies on, and a lot of surprise people. Really? The brand new heavies? And they got a brand new album out. It's a live album, and you just heard a track from that, the classic Never Stop from your live album. That was recorded at the O2, was it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and basically, you are on a heavy touring schedule at the moment. What's the deal? Are you out there performing every night or every week, or where's it taking you?
Well, it hasn't started quite yet. We're actually off to the States first next week, and then we're back in the UK the following week, and we start in, I think it's Cambridge.
Yeah.
The 2nd
of November.
We're in London at Shepherd's Bush Empire on the 4th, then Southampton on the 7th, Manchester on the 8th, Liverpool on the 9th, Bristol on the 11th. Brighton on the 12th and Derby on the 13th.
Yay! We can recap that on the website in case
it's all in the MySpace. It's all in the MySpace. if you can't remember that, just go to the MySpace. It's all good.
Absolutely.
Heavy plug from the heavies.
I want to talk about humble beginnings because I remember many years ago, you guys. I can't quite recall whether you came out as a product of a scene or whether you were just doing your thing at the time, and then it just fitted in. But I remember many years ago there were DJs that were playing these incredible rare grooves on a station, a pirate station called Kiss FM, with a certain Mr. Gordon Mack, who's now leaning behind me at the helm of that. And it was just an incredible time where
it really was,
real hip-hop, real funk, and real music was overtaking what the kind of blandness of the electronic music of the 80s, you know?
Just the digital.
It was an underground scene, really. I mean, everyone refers to us as being part of the acid jazz thing, and you know, we definitely were, but we really grew more out of the warehouse scene, you know, and that was really all about all diverse forms of dance music, you know, and it was funk and it was soul and it was a bit of hip-hop, some jazz, some reggae, you know, a bit of everything, really.
And also, like, you know, in the clubs there's all kind of people in there, like, from all different creative worlds, so a lot of heads are meeting, you know what I mean, creating new opportunities and doing all kind of stuff.
And I think as well, which is interesting, because literally everywhere in the world you would go, there's these pockets of these same sort of combinations of people that I don't think people realize that. And I think our band was one of those people that kind of helped to kind of glue some of those combinations, as we would travel around globally, and then we actually got a chance to connect with them and them us, and it was a scene and it was a music. So, you know, it was definitely like a great global communication, musically and movement-wise.
It was a real vindication at the time, wasn't it,
for real
music, you know? Mm. It's like, I remember when I first heard the brand new heavies, I couldn't figure out whether you were a band I'd missed in my rare groove selections or whether you were a real live band, and I was so delighted that not only were you a real band playing real funk and breaks like they should be played, but from the UK here as well. So were you guys like regular out in the clubs and stuff and getting influenced by this whole thing?
We really cut our teeth in the clubs, you know, and actually when we first started as purely as an instrumental thing, and we used to play some of these warehouse parties, and we were like the band because, you know, we turn up, and I remember having my drum kit hoisted up somewhere in Old Street and you know, people hooking up things from the lights to make the power happen, and you know,
no toilets.
Yeah. that was actually me doing the lights and putting all the stuff together.
You just said Southwark Bridge. You're talking about a warehouse jam in Southwark Bridge, aren't you? I was there.
We were all there. It was quite scary. But that was a template for the rave scene, really.
Yeah.
And people doing stuff like that, so it started off there, you know what I mean?
I was there, I was in LA in the rave scene, in the warehouse scene, so.
But you know what, indeed.
Waiting for us all to meet.
But waiting for us to meet.
Even though you're obviously, you know, the American contingent of the band, I keep meeting guys, influential rappers that were looking to the UK scene back then and saying, wow, these guys are really doing something real here, you know, and there's a real energy coming out of London. Is that how you perceived it over there in LA? Or?
No, I mean, well, you know, there's always this romantic. I think, you know, it's always anywhere where you're not actually living in the particular at that time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a romanticized idea where you're kind of looking at, especially like the UK that has such a heavy, you know, it holds a lot of weight in the world as far as music, as far as fashion. You know, it's like a center point of a lot of a pulse. So of course people look in the United States and they look at the UK like, wow, there's, and also there was the great time, obviously, in the late 80s, where music videos were so impactful here in the UK. So, you know, we got a chance to look at that from afar and admire it. So, yeah, of course. And then when, like, MCs and rappers, you know, when the band basically kind of made its mark, you know, basically those songs from the 70s and the 80s that were Rare Grooves and everything, people were like, wow, you know, this is like what I'm sampling, you know, my songs. And so, you know, it was a perfect sort of marriage when Brand New Heavy is when we sort of kind of linked up, you know.
And it's awesome that the full core of the band is still you guys together, you know. And have you always like stayed together and played together down the years, or have you kind of taken a hiatus? Or have you in your minds have you always still been together? But what's the deal?
We went to the three males in the band went to school together. We've known each other since we were actually 5 and then 12 years old. So we're going to be friends forever, I hope, guys.
Don't look at me, I can't answer that question. I'm just very, very happy that you guys are still together.
Silent, bro. It's dead air, it's good, isn't it, on the radio?
We met up with India, and she slotted in perfectly. And I think there is a lot of friendship involved in the
sound of the Brand New Heavies here on Colourful Radio, Ride in the Sky. That's from your very first album, guys, and kind of, you know, one of the first recordings of that, which I think you re-recorded, right?
Yeah.
And that was on, I think it was on the Acid Jazz label back in the day, many, many years ago. And there's a kind of perception out there that the Heavies have just come back on the scene. We were just talking about it. But you've been very, very busy throughout, haven't you? Just touring the world and doing huge gigs. Yeah, what have you been up to?
Just working band, really. Just, you know, doing lots of shows and going to places where we're asked to go and perform. And you know, people always assume if you're not on TV or you're not, you know, in the charts, then you've disappeared, you know.
And literally, we just got back from Bangkok, and that was like a big MTV, huge, huge party, about 7,000 or more people. And actually, Beyonce's guitarist, BB was, you remember, the girl with the big hair.
Buzzing around, wasn't she?
Buzzing around, and we're having a really great time. So it's almost like even like from that point of what we do and up to now, people are still getting it together.
I think for us, you know, we got into the music business for the love of music, not to sort of really be in the limelight. So we've always, you know, we keep doing music forever, individually, if you're not...
Yeah, whatever.
Even, you know, around the old people's home in about 50 years' time.
It's not to say that we don't want everyone else to hear our music, though.
It's very...
We don't want to stay in the...
But we had the Mobo Awards last week, the Mobo Awards here, Music of Black Origin, and quite frankly, I found the whole thing quite underwhelming as far as the state of the music is concerned and whether the awards is doing had any value to push the music and honour those that are part of it. I mean, there's the obvious kind of Michael Jackson tribute, obviously, for this year. I mean, have you had a relationship with Mobo down the years? Because, quite frankly...
We've been, I mean, not really, not a massive relationship. I mean, we're there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we haven't had a big relationship.
Our Lifetime Achievement Award is
still outstanding.
Outstanding.
Now, your live album, have you, you've harvested recordings from all of the shows around the world or any particular show?
No, that was one night.
That was one night at the O2.
Show from beginning to end, yeah.
Fantastic. And I heard tell of another volume of Heavy Rhyme Experience. Now, was it 91, 92 you guys got together?
92.
It was like the ultimate jam session with some of the kind of main protagonists of hip-hop back in the day, Main Source and Guru and Master Ace and all these cats. Did we ever get to Volume 2? Did I miss that one?
We didn't get to it, but we will be getting to it very soon. We're actually working on it at the moment. And
it's funny, because you were saying earlier on about you didn't know whether Heavies was a new band or an old band.
When you first came out.
Digging in crates guys in the early 90s.
Exactly, yeah.
Into the, you know, they weren't sure if it was an old record, because the first sleeve was just like a logo.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting for us to get those guys up on stage, and that's what spurned the idea for the album.
Well, we're kind of halfway through Heavy Rhyme Volume 2, and we're going to be doing some recording in New York. We have a show there and a tour in the States as well next week.
And that starts on the 19th of October in the States.
I mean, that album is interesting because there's sleeve notes on it that kind of start off by saying what a hungry music hip-hop is and how it refuses to die despite the cynics, etc., etc. Then zip forward to 2009. How do you feel about hip-hop? I mean, asking Dave, how do you feel about hip-hop these
days?
Well,
you know, it's almost a love-hate thing. I mean, you know, I, obviously being, you know, product of hip-hop generation, I just feel that it's almost like, for me, considering even like sports, you know, when an athlete basically has a different approach to the game, you know, going much more for the what is it, the when people get like shoes and things and, you right. know, ads and stuff
the
like that.
The tools of the game.
And yeah, the sponsorships. I think, you know, any time when you don't really spend as much time with, like, you know, really nurturing the culture, you know, and I tend to feel that a lot of the hip-hop artists today don't really nurture the culture. I think that they've got to be very, very careful as far as the industry basically taking over what was initially planned. You know, hip-hop started with two turntables and a microphone, you mm-hmm. know? And I think when you step away from the game, that's a very, very dangerous line that you've got to be very, very careful about what you're doing. However, I think there's still some amazing, amazing MCs mm-hmm. and people still doing hip-hop. However, they're not getting as much of the shine, but there's still a very strong underground community mm. in the United States, and it still transcends through the world.
Yeah,
I think the industry messed up hip hop a little
bit,
you know, because it got so big and so commercial, and some of the wrong things became the biggest selling things. You know, I mean, you have artists like Jay-Z now, amazing, incredible lyricists and very talented, obviously. But then there's also a lot of people who I think aren't really up there, you know, and you have all the vocoder stuff and all of that, and
yeah,
you know, but there's still, as India says, there's still some incredibly talented MCs out there that usually on smaller labels, and but you know, it's still out there because it's a passionate movement, and people really believe in it, and they make music for the right reasons, you know, so it's still out there very much. And there's also I'm personally quite pleased to see a lot of, you know, pretty decent MCs here now too.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
I think for a few years, we, as the UK, we were struggling mm-hmm. with an identity within hip-hop, you know, to find an identity. There were, you know, cool artists like, you know, London Posse and people like that, and Roots Manuva, people who have been around for a long time, you know. But I think, you know, there was definitely a time when it kind of lost its way a bit, but now I think it has its own, it's getting its own identity together, and it's crossing over in a different way as well, being mixed up with house music and things, and it's I quite like where it's at right now.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I don't mind some of the vocoder stuff, actually.
Yeah,
some T-Pain,
yeah.
Some of it with.
I think
Jamie
T-Pain
Fox
gets a rough deal, really, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
it's a rough deal.
It's fun. It's fun music. I think that hip hop is actually pop music now, and
yeah.
to kind of squeeze it into the category that it was when it first started is a wrong thing, because hip hop is actually pop music. It's not old hip hop from the '70s, eighties.
No.
It's a different. It's actually become popular music.
That's yeah. right. Yeah.
Top 10 in America. There's probably 4 or 5 so-called hip-hop tracks are actually pop music now.
Pop music.
So
oh, definitely.
It's almost two different things. There's an underground movement, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing is, everyone wants to be famous. Everyone wants to sell millions of records anyway.
Of course, you know, but that's so. The only reason why I kind of like tend to... It's the debatable issue as far as, well, do, you know, where if you're into... If you're an MC and you're wanting to nurture the culture opposed to, like, selling the records. I'm like, that's why, I mean, it's kind of a thin line. Well, what's your choice? That's all. You
yeah,
know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, well, actually, yeah, I think all points valid there.
Yeah, sure. No
that's
doubt.
Right. Next
no
week,
doubt.
Well, just in case you tuned sure. in, you're wondering, who are these guys? It's Brand New Heavies on Colourful
yes,
Radio.
Yes, yes, yes.
Original Heavies in the house, man. I'm feeling this. Who have you got rapping on volume 2
we
of
can't
that?
Tell you that.
That'd be
oh, come
too
on.
Too early.
No, we
way
can't
too early.
That. Can't tell you that.
There's a few okay. very, very nice people on there, though.
we can mention one great rapping superstar called Vanilla Ice.
Oh, no.
Has agreed to... No, I'm just kidding.
I heard he was a nice guy.
I bet you've done that in a jam session.
Yeah. Actually, he was quite credit. He was actually down Vanilla Ice. Yeah.
It was huge at the time.
He was quite a cool
actually.
Guy from a real crew, and he yeah. was like yeah. a bit of a dude. Mm. But he did come across
just misunderstood
because he was yeah. successful.
Because he was what?
You got so many classic tunes. I mean, I remember back in the day, early 90s, your records were constantly all over the radio here in London on Kiss and other stations.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. New material? You put some new songs together?
We will have we're working on also on a studio CD as well. So we've got Double Duty to deal with this year coming up. 2010, yeah, baby!
We're trying to put 2 albums out in 2010,
yeah.
basically.
Well,
just keep it moving, you know?
Andrew, you were saying about the fact that you were still on the hunt for some old stuff that you did back in the day on vinyl. So you literally yeah. created your own Rare Groove there.
It's weird, actually.
Isn't it strange?
I was on eBay the other day, and I saw one of our first 12-inch on Cool Tempo come up, and it was like $15 someone was selling it for. And unfortunately, I didn't keep everything. I didn't keep everything that we did. And there's one 7-inch... When we first signed to Cool Tempo, we released Got to Give, and they released like a mock-up kind of Rare Groove 7-inch with a hole cut out in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to look for that at the moment.
I'm going to dig in the crate, see if I can find that for you. It would be an honour to hand that over for a lot of money. No. So how do you see the new digital world of downloading and stuff? Are you kind of embracing that? Because I guess back in the day when you were selling hard units, you knew, you know, the money was coming in and people were, you know, buying their own copies and stuff. You didn't have this, you'd have people giving each other tapes,
you know,
of music.
It's a necessary evil. There's two sides to every story, you know. There's like the great side of it is how much music is available now to people and to kids. You know, kid, you go speak to your average kid and look at their iPod, you know, they don't just have one style of music, they have all different styles of music, and that's a great thing, I think, personally.
Their iPod, their USB key.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Libraries around on these days, man.
But you know what I mean? And I think the accessibility of it is an amazing thing. I think it's still important for people to get paid and to get credit, but I think downloading sometimes, you know, illegal downloading sometimes even is a way of people finding out about stuff that they wouldn't know about, you know.
Also with the internet, you know, you can release your own record now and you don't have to be chosen by a major label who's going to dictate what people are going to hear, you know, so it's kind of...
And you guys have got your own imprint now? Those labels are kind of old expression. Your own imprint, Brand New Heavies, or are you signed up to a label?
No, not really. Right. We have distribution. We have big distribution.
With EMI.
We're kind of doing our own thing as far as, you know, the label and that goes,
and the buzz to perform live still there, the hunger.
Absolutely,
that's the cool thing also about the, going on to talk about the downloading thing, because it kind of like separates the boys from the men, you know. You can find out about a lot of great music, however, you know, it's almost like just a promo for your live performance. You know, just want to squeeze that in, just to, you know, so therefore it gives the people the opportunity to come out and see live performance and, you know, get involved.
One thing I will say, I don't think prosecuting people for, you know, prosecuting 12-year-old kids for downloading files that's not the way forward. That's not the answer.
Yeah.
You need to find out why, and you need to find a way of regulating things without just,
That's right.
Well, just as a litmus test, I kind of looked for the Heavy Rhyme Experience on the UK iTunes today just to see if it was downloadable, and it's not there. Mm-hmm. So you could really forgive someone for going out of their way, I guess, to try and find it on a blog or something, couldn't you?
Yeah. It is on the Americans one.
There you go. But you have to have an auntie in San Diego, you know, with an iTunes account.
You've got to blame the label for that one, unfortunately. We'd love to have it everywhere, you know.
Well, Utopia follows, I'm sure, pretty soon. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you guys here.
Thank you so much.
20 odd years since I've been following what you do, and you kindly did a gig for me and for another station called Jazz FM back in the day to launch.
You
were grassroots, man, and in there and doing it and supporting the music.
So are you, man.
Well, Chris, I've got to say, look at this, Colourful Radio, voice, beautiful.
Well, it's a nice humble abode with the roof terrace and the sun beaming in, south facing.
Who are those girls out there in the bikinis?
Oh, that's the missus.
And the barbecue.
Told her not to parade around.
And also, for all the people who can't see, Chris is actually, his cardigan is very nearly matching the backdrop
it's
behind
him. It's more of a Hawaiian shirt underneath.
Salmon.
It's
pretty really good going.
We're going to wind up with a track from the double album, the two-disc live album, the Brand New Heavies Live in London. Oh, there's me saying, did you harvest it from round? I didn't even read the title, sorry.
That's all
right. Duh! Twit. Live in London, Greatest Hits, featuring the lovely Andrea Davenport.
Thank you.
And the band, thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
We're going to play Stay This Way, but you really like this version. You chose this.
Great version. Mm-hmm.
You like this version. Okay, let's do this. Many thanks to Brand New Heavies for coming in. Go and check them out online and get that live album and watch that tour schedule as well, because, you know, that's where the real music's at. Thanks, guys.
Right on.
Thank you.